It's time to get underway with a special edition of Radio Friendships from our location in Galveston, Texas, where we're helping to meet the needs of people with the love of Jesus Christ. Radio Friendships is brought to you by Don and Sandra Tipton of Friendships Unlimited, which is located in Lake Charles, Louisiana. As the Lord said in Isaiah 1:18, come, let us reason together.
Great day and welcome to Radio Friendships. This is Jeff Reed standing in for Don and Sandra Tipton from Galveston, Texas. And we want to welcome you to the program. You, that one person that may have been hurt by church people in the past, you may have had some bad experiences with religious type people. Well, maybe you've been tuning in just to kind of make fun of the Christians. That's okay. You're very welcome here on Radio Friendships. And we have a very real person with us today that has a lot of history with Friendships Unlimited, and that would be Gary Dixon. Welcome to Radio Friendships, Gary.
Thanks, Jeff. It's good to be here in Galveston. It's always a joy to be able to be hooked up with Friendships.
Well, like I said in the introduction, it goes back a little ways.
It goes back about 12 years, yeah. I was first introduced to Friendships through my dear friend Roger Surratt, and he called me after we'd been friends for over 10 years, and he said, Gary, he said, Don Tipton, who's the founder of Friendships, he called up and he says, can you come on down to Honduras? I need some help. It's just after a hurricane had gone through. And I said, let me see what I can do. And I prayed about it. I wasn't just going to get ready to jump on a plane and fly to Honduras. And I prayed about it, and God said it was time to go, to stretch out beyond where I was at. I pastor a church in northern Wisconsin, been there for 22 years. It's a small community. It's an area that is inundated every summer with hundreds of thousands of people. But at the same time, it's a very rural community as well. And God said, it's time to go beyond where you're at. And that was the door that had opened for me to go with Roger to hook up with Friendships down in Honduras.
Well, let me ask you, because now there's a lot of pastors, and most of our listening audience is in Louisiana, a lot of rural churches there. How can somebody in a small area, a rural area, be effective? How do they take the first step?
I think one of the first steps, Jeff, is this, is understand that Jesus said he's going to send us into all the world. And we have a specific call into a specific location, as I was to pastor that church, to found the church there. But at the same time, my heart was to go even beyond that, into other states, into other countries, and allow God to open the door. Faith and patience. I wasn't about to jump. I wanted to be led forth by the Holy Spirit and know it was God leading me, because if God goes before me, I know that he's providing the way, and I know that his hand of protection is there around me, as also I can rely upon him totally and completely, as we've had to do so many times as we've gone into the mission field. But to get into the mission field, I really believe it's just to have a love for mankind and to be able to step out where God will open the door as you seek him to open that door for you, to follow that leading. And as you go, you'll be quickened to understand really how blessed we are to live in America, to be able to have everything that we have need of readily at our fingertips. The provision is so abundant. But then to go overseas and to go into third world countries to see people that are just struggling day by day to even survive and exist, to be able to take them a message of hope and love and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them and to pray with them and to bring them hope and to see their lives changed and their eternal destiny changed for their good, to come to know the Lord as Jesus as Savior.
Amen. Well, see, the Lord gives you this vision for an outreach. The challenge really sets in at that point. How do you convey this message to the membership?
You know, that's an interesting thing. As I said, we pioneered the church 22 years ago, and it was a day-by-day walk with the Lord, as it still is, faith walk. The Lord said, begin this church, start the church, and we didn't know how. Yes, I graduated from Bible school, but still how to get a church going from the grassroots up and with absolutely no money when the Lord said start a church. And before long, we're saying, Lord, if I'm hearing from you, I want this to be confirmed. I know we walk by faith and not by sight, but Lord, I want to have this confirmed. So my wife and I are driving down a dirt road not a heavily traveled road, a man came around the corner, waved us down, and he stuck his hand out the window, and he said, here, this is for you. You know what to do with it. It was a handful of money, and we knew that was the beginning funds to start the church. And that's how it's gone, you know, week by week, month by month, year by year. God has always been so faithful. So how do you bring it before the congregation? Over the course of time, you know, you develop a relationship with your people, with the ones that God has blessed you with to be the shepherd over, and just to love them and develop that trust relationship. And that's something that's so vital, and that you walk in the spirit of unity and the bond of peace. And, you know, I have just determined that I will protect these people within the church that God has blessed me with. I'll protect them not to allow wolves and weird doctrine, Amen. Deceiving spirits to come in. So there is that trust. And I'll say, folks, I said, God has laid it upon my heart to take this step to go to Honduras. I feel it's time. And all of a sudden, the lady said, I know that's right. I know that's right. And she dug in her purse and started writing out a check. And another lady dug in her purse, another one, and said, and that's just how it came in. It came in abundantly and quickly. And you have to know that it's God leading you. Just to go off on another tangent a little bit, this was back in 1989. I was invited to go on a mission trip to Puerto Rico. A dear friend of mine, Dr. Jameson, invited me to go to Puerto Rico and to minister with him in the mission field. And at his mission station, and that there was live television, and I think it was called The Voice of the Caribbean. And I said, man, Doc, that sounds wonderful. Let me pray about it. And as the time was approaching to get the funds ready, to get everything prepared to go, the funds didn't come in. And, you know, I wanted to go, but the funds weren't there. So I called Doc up and I said, Doc, I said, I really want to go, but the funds aren't here. I said, evidently God is not calling me at this time because the provision is not there. I know there's a time that you walk by faith and say, God, I know you've spoken to me, I'm going. But this time it was the funds aren't here, Doc. And he said, that's okay. He said, evidently that there's something else in mind that God needs you at home for. It was that week that my mother died. And I would have been in Puerto Rico instead of at home by her bedside. You know, so there's times that we can force doors open, or there's times that we can allow the Spirit to open the doors for us, and we walk before them. If he closes that door, we'll say, God, you know what's best for me, and I'll trust you totally and completely to stay behind that door, even though I know it's in my heart to go beyond. When it's your time, you'll open that door. So I'm trusting you in every aspect of my life, every step that I take. I'm going to allow you to lead me, Holy Spirit.
Amen. Well, listen, you were talking about one of the keys to effectively being a pastor of a congregation is the relationship. And we know by examples of relationship that requires a lot of honesty. So where do you draw the line? How much of your life do you share?
You know, I believe that honesty is first and foremost. Trust is something that has to be developed. Respect is something that is learned. You can't demand either one of those. In being transparent before God, because you can hide nothing before God. So if we're going to be honest and open before God, why can't we be open and honest before the people? And that's been our heart and our policy. Understandably, there are things that people will share with us that have to be held in strictest of confidence, pastoral privilege, so to speak, that I'm not going to share your information with somebody else.
Okay.
But in transparency of our life, I'm going to be transparent. You know, another thing that I shared with the people from day one, I shared the priorities that God laid out for his children in Exodus. The relationship with God first, the relationship with your wife or husband, your spouse second, the relationship with your children third, the relationship with your church fourth, and then he says, I'll bless all manner of workmanship. And I said, my God, my relationship with God comes first, between my wife and myself second, between my children and me third, and it says church fourth, and bless all manner of workmanship fifth. So church fits in here someplace between fourth and fifth. If I'll keep this in its proper perspective and the priorities right, God will bless the church. God will bless the workmanship. I said, if my family begins to suffer at all, I love them so much, I will step out of ministry to tend to their needs. I love my wife so much, if she's hurting, I will step out to tend to her needs.
Absolutely.
And we've just kept that honesty honesty before the people, and it's something that has really grown into them as well.
Well, listen, we're going to take a short break here, and we want to play a little something from the Mid-South Boys. That's Roger Surratt. You mentioned him earlier. Well, let's go ahead and listen to just a short clip of that, and when we come back, we're going to ask you to be honest in some difficult areas, if you don't mind.
That's fine.
All right. We'll be right back.
Making excuses for his broken life, he knows down deep inside the bottle brought the old man down. The bottle brought the old man down.
The days ordained for us are written in God's book before one of them comes to be. It doesn't matter who your family is, how much money you have, what house you live in, or the education you have. There's a bigger picture. Nehemiah was a cupbearer in the king's palace when he heard that the wall around Jerusalem was destroyed. He was deeply moved and he made a decision to leave a good job, assemble a team, travel to Jerusalem, and repair the wall. His team continued to work even as they were ridiculed and threatened. They worked with one hand and held a weapon in the other. God created our inmost being. He knit us together in our mother's womb, and like Nehemiah, we aren't just passing through this planet by chance. There's a reason for you being here on Earth. Are you living the days ordained for you by God?
For more information about Friendships Unlimited, go to www.friendships.org.
I'm trading my sorrow, I'm trading my shame, I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord.
Okay, we're back with Pastor Gary Dixon, and he has come from Wisconsin to be a part of the disaster relief effort in Galveston, Texas. Now, Gary, you've been out on the field. You've been to a couple of the houses, or are you staying mostly at dining area?
No, we've been all over the island as far as we can go.
How would you paint a visual for people listening on the radio? What are you seeing out there?
Having been in hurricane disaster areas before, literally throughout the Caribbean, and seeing what it's like here, there has to be a tremendous amount of credit given to the people of Texas to see what they have done in Galveston, especially to see what they've done in this community in such a short amount of time. They've taken pride in their community. There's a tremendous work ethic that I've seen. There's still a lot of areas that need a lot of help, but the amount of work that's been accomplished speaks well for the people of Galveston, what they've done to get it accomplished.
Well, there's something that we need to address. I said we were going to require a little honesty from you here because a lot of the residents of Galveston have suffered loss, not only in material things, they have lost loved ones. And that brings people into unfamiliar territory lots of times, and it's painful. What can you share with us about loss?
About the middle of July, they said that my father had 18 things wrong with him and that he was slowly dying. We know that there were things wrong with him. He had a heart condition and diabetes, but about the middle of July, they said that he would be unwinding in this present life, so to speak, and within about the next 2 months. And we could see that taking place before our eyes, that my dad was slowly dying. And I did have the privilege and the honor to be with him in those last days, to be by his bedside when he passed from earth to heaven, when he was promoted. And it was a great thing. But, you know, to see somebody that you love so dearly, somebody that you respect and esteem and uphold so highly, die, to be gone from you forever. And there's a place you can either become bitter, why me, God? Or there's a place you can say, God, I need your help and I need your strength. And that's where I turned. I turned to the Lord for my strength, and he brought me comfort. You know, the last thing I could do for my father, being a pastor, would be to do his funeral service. And that was something I wanted to do, but I knew it was going to be extremely difficult because of the emotion, because of the pain and the grief that you feel. And I just says, Lord, I said, if you'll help me, if you'll bring me strength and comfort during this time so that I can honor my Father as he is so deserving of. If you'll just strengthen me, Lord, I'll be so thankful. And I trusted him, and he brought me that strength, and he brought me that comfort, and he brought me through that difficult time. I was sitting in the church office one day after my father passed away. He passed away on September 19th, and I just started to cry. I just started to weep. And I said, oh, God, I miss him. I miss my dad. And I hadn't really dealt with the grief and the sorrow of it because God strengthened me to do that act that I needed to do. And for some of you out there today, I'm sure God has strengthened you to bring you comfort and strength to deal with that time of sorrow and grief that you may be experiencing right now. But there's nothing wrong with being able to grieve and to sorrow and to cry. If you'll turn to the Lord, he'll strengthen you. As a matter of fact, Jesus even cried. He wept over his good friend Lazarus. And he will strengthen you. If you'll ask the Holy Spirit to come and to strengthen you, he will strengthen you. He will bring to us a peace that passes all understanding, a peace not as the world gives. He will comfort us. He is the comforter. No matter what you're facing or experiencing today, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will be there for you. He's as close as the mention of his name, and he's longing to bring healing to your heart that is breaking, to your mind that is full of anguish and turmoil. He longs to bring you peace, and he will do that if you just call upon him. That's what I experienced. And you know, just coming down, I drove down from northern Wisconsin down to Galveston. I needed some time alone. And Roger called me and he said, hey, Don says, you know, why don't you guys come on down to Galveston? We can use it down there. So I jumped in my car and it was good to have some quiet time. In my car, I wasn't bothered by the phone. I wasn't bothered by people pulling this way or that way. I had time alone with the Lord. And I think that's another thing that is so important during the time that people are hurting, when they feel alone. They may even feel like, God, where are you? If you'll get in the secret place of the Lord, it doesn't matter if it's in your car, if it's in your bedroom, if you will just take that time to make that your secret place with the Lord and to dwell in the presence of the Almighty. God is with you if you'll just ask him to come. If you'll just acknowledge him, he'll be there with you and he will strengthen you. So that time coming down in the car, it's goodness, I think it's 1,800 miles. And I just jumped in and I drove, and it was just so good because I was refreshed. I was strengthened. I got my eyes off the surroundings around me, and I could see different things that were just beautiful. The harvest time, the farmers in the field harvesting their crops, the trees turning colors and things moving from summer, fall, getting prepared for winter. And I saw that. I saw, God, you're still in control, because as long as there is summer and winter, hot and cold, there's seed time and harvest. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if we'll just call out to you, Lord, you'll be there. As I drive through the island of Galveston, I can see the wonderful and the beautiful creation of God Almighty. Every time I see a wave coming in and a wave going out, it's God that set that moon in place to cause that ebb and flow. He's in complete control. Even though there's been a lot of devastation and destruction here, you may have lost your homes, you may have lost your businesses, you may have lost family in this. The sorrow goes on and on and on. But if you'll just turn to the Lord and get into that place of seclusion and solitude and just go before him and open your heart up before God, he will minister to you strength and peace. And just come to him and say, oh, I need you, Jesus, in my heart. I need you in my life. Would you please take control? Amen. And he'll do it.
Pastor, I know that there's somebody here right now that has heard everything you said, and there's a little bit of ray of hope, but they're like, man, that's so far away from me right now. They feel a wall around them that nobody can penetrate. Friends have come by, family members have come by trying to console and comfort them, and it's just impossible. It feels like they're always going to be like this. What could you say, or would you like to pray for that person right now?
I just love to pray for him right now, Jeff. There's nothing impossible for God. And all it takes for them is to come to the place of total abandonment, maybe even to a place of desperation, and say, God, I can't do this. I've tried everything on my own, and it just doesn't work. And life doesn't seem to have any purpose. It doesn't have any direction. Is there any hope for me? And there is hope. And there is only one way, and His name is Jesus Christ. And I would just love to pray for any individual right now that may be experiencing that hopelessness. You've been discomforted, you've been disjointed, you've been put out of place, but He is the comforter. He is the one that will bring you back into a family. Maybe some of your family has died because of this horrific hurricane and you're all alone, but there is a family of God. But right now, I'd like to pray for those that may feel alone, without hope. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for Your great love. I thank You for Your mercy. And Father, You said if we would come unto You, all of us that are heavy laden and burdened down, You would give us rest. And I ask You right now, Holy Spirit, to those that are seeking, those that are searching, may You bring to them a peace. May You bring to them a comfort. May You bring to them a joy unspeakable, something that goes far beyond their own strength and their own abilities. May there be something supernatural from heaven. May the hand of God come down and touch those that would reach out to them and say, Father God, I need You. I ask You to come in Your strength and touch me where I'm at. Lord, would You just touch them now? Heal the heart that's broken. Heal the mind that is in such disarray and has been so fragmented and with such anxiety. To those that are hurting physically, Father, You are the divine physician, and You do all things good, and there's nothing impossible. To those that need provision, Father God, may they turn to You, and may they seek You, and may You do something supernatural beyond what they could imagine or expect, and provide for them as they call out to You, and they will see that it is You. Father, today, I ask You to minister Your grace, Your love, Your mercy, and Your might. May those without hope and those that are hurting come to a place of healing, come to a place of hope, come to a family that will welcome them and love them and bring them in and surround them with Your goodness, with Your love and Your mercy. So, Father, I ask You to help them, to strengthen them, and bring them to Jesus, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you again for joining us today, Pastor Gary. Appreciate it.
Thank you for allowing me to be here.
Just want to remind you, if you listen closely through this entire interview, you heard the word trust an awful lot. Now, you may have suffered loss. Somebody that you trusted would be there for you for as long as you live, and they're gone. The message of trust is not a new one. It's throughout the Bible. It started right at the beginning. Trust and faith go hand in hand. Lord's still calling us to trust Him, and this may be your moment to turn to the Lord and put your trust in the right place. So we encourage you to do that. Pick up the Bible if you haven't done it in a long time, if you've never done it at all. Start looking for yourself, and the Lord will reveal to you that He is trustworthy and able to carry you through whatever you're going through right now. Thank you so much for joining us today on Radio Friendships. Join us again next time, where we love to speak about the great and mighty God and the many wonderful ways throughout the world to serve Him. Have a great day, and God bless.
Joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading my pain. I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord. I said, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lordy, yes, Lordy, yes, yes, Lord, amen. I said yes, Lord.
Thank you for listening to the Friendships broadcast today. Don and Sandra Tipton invite you to join them again next time as we stand in awe of the great God we serve. Friendships is based at Port Mercy in Lake Charles, Louisiana. For information about Friendships Unlimited, dial 337-433-5022 or go on the internet to friendships.org.